gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
Sports fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We're heading into Week 8, coming off of Week 7. That was, at least in my mind, far and away the best week of the NFL season. A lot of great games, a lot of excitement. And we have a lot of excitement here, too, at the This Week in the NFL studios. So we have a four-man booth this week. It's all people you know and love, but for the first time, we've come up into the 2000s from a technology perspective, where we can have everybody on and everybody can hear each other, and it's really fantastic. And if you thought this show was a 10 before, well, this is going to make it an 11 or a 12 out of 10 for you. So introducing first, my co-host with the most, Mr. John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
All right, let's lower the expectations a little bit. Even though I am proud to be a four-man crew like the Beatles.
Like I said, you know, you're our Ringo. Alive and mediocre.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I got going for me is I'm alive.
All right. Well, good to have you, John. Also joined, as always, by Cowboy Senior, who has moved from the payphone outside of Gillette Stadium to a better setup in the Cowboy Senior man cave. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
Hey, I'm good. I'm nice and relaxed here on the recliner, and no cars whizzing by me on Route 1 or anything. And like you said, Week 7, the most exciting week of the season. A lot of great games and one not so great game. But anyway, I'm ready to go.
Man, you're already like talking Eagles Giants before we even introduce the last guy. Is that the game you're talking about?
No, it's not.
All right, and also our fourth man tonight. You know, he would be the John Lennon of this group. You know, the talent, the guy who's gonna surpass the older people on here very, very shortly. Just getting his feet wet with this stuff. Usually he's on the phone and he can only hear me, but we got him set up in his own man cave. Big Cardinals fan and my best buddy, Ryder. How you doing, Ryder?
Good.
Good. So first snow today, right? How was the bus stop in the snow this morning?
Not good.
Not good? Were you cold?
Yeah, especially wearing shorts.
So yeah, that's true. He wore shorts and a James Harden shirtsy to school today for Halloween, for his Halloween costume. He's an analytics guy, John, not a big James Harden guy, I would believe. But Ryder, you're coming in flying high. So when it was cold at the bus stop and you needed to warm yourself up and get your mind on something else, did you think about Kyler Murray taking out Russell Wilson last week?
Maybe a little bit.
Yes. Yes, you did. So that's a great place for us to start. And we're going to start there. And it's great to have you on, Ryder, and great that you can hear everybody. But first, I'm going to kick it over to John just to talk about some of the other great content we have here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network.
All right, Raj. Since we did our thing last week, North-South Connection been very busy dropping 8 podcasts, including the Wrestling War Zone, where Aaron and JT go over the Monday Night Wars, 5/20/96. Actually, Wrestling War Zone, that's JT and Chad. And then also there's Shrink Wrap, the Psychology of Superheroes Legion with Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, and Sean Kidd. And No Holds Barred is JT and Aaron. They did episode number 42, an October Listomania, where they rank all the greatest cards of October. So give that a listen to. And our second print comics dropped with the luxurious Mark Claire, episode 12, Ghost Rider and Sleepy Hollow. And then on Aaron George, again, a very busy man. The Year That Was, episode number 15, where he goes over WWF 2012. And on Tuesday, the Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast with our boy Jambalaya Jake goes over 617 to 62002 in the WWE. And Thursday, the Extreme Three-Way Dance, episode number 35. We review Gangsta's Paradise, JT and Jenny, the king and queen of the pod universe, and myself. Hey, Lilo. And then just today, The Gang Gets a Podcast, episode number 4, where the great Josh Risha and JT and Aaron go over the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 1, episode 4. A great show with three great guys. So very busy, a lot of free content on the North-South Connection, so keep giving us a holler.
So when you say Gangsta's Paradise, that was an ECW show, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Was that New Jack?
Yes, New Jack and Mustafa, yes.
Fantastic. I'm not sure what we got going on with somebody. But we could use that mute button if we're going to make a lot of noise. I'm guessing that's senior.
I'll tell you what's not going on. What's not going on is the mute button. Yeah,
it's all good now. It's all good.
Yep, just use
I was
that
eliminating
mute.
Some sound.
We're going to get you there, man. We got you off route one. Next thing you know, you'll be able to work the phone. It'll be a dream.
Baby steps.
We called an analytics expert to go to Senior's house and fix up his Skype.
Open and close the door as loudly as possible, as many times as possible. All right. Very good. So thank you, John. I hope everybody tunes into those shows. That Extreme Three-Way Dance sounds like an interesting one. I think I'm going to tune into that one. And I am not a big podcast listener. So surprising. I know. So thanks, John. But back to football, which is what everybody's here for. Welcome, listeners. The first game we want to talk about, game of the season for me so far. I'll tell you, I mean, I couldn't have been more pumped up watching this game. Sunday night football. You had the undefeated Seattle Seahawks coming in at 5-0 at the upstart Arizona Cardinals. And this was everything you want in a football game. And they even sprinkled in a little defense at the end for D'Amato. So, what a game. What a game. Ryder, unfortunately, has school on Mondays and couldn't stay up. But I will tell you that after the Cardinals won in overtime, for the first time in Ryder's life, I attempted to call him and wake him up at midnight on a school night just so I could yell into the phone. But amazing win for the Cardinals. They played a really, really good game, but it looked like it was going to be another instance of Wilson just being a little too much. But the Cardinals down 10 in the fourth quarter go on a drive, and the announcers were kind of shitting on the drive, saying it was taking too long. But, you know, ultimately they get a penalty on a field goal and ultimately get into the end zone on the drive with, call it, 3 minutes left. So 34-31, 3 minutes left, kicking off to Seattle. The Cardinals have all their timeouts. I felt like the game was over. I felt like the way Wilson had kind of run through them the whole game, that they weren't going to be, that they would just be able to run out the clock. The Cards defense gives up a first down, but stands tall. Kyler gets the ball back with, call it, 50 seconds left and no timeouts, and runs just a fantastic drive, gets them into field goal range. Field goal as time expired, 34-34, overtime. So, Ryder. So, Ryder. When you're thinking about that overtime, right? With you got two teams, 34-34, there has not been a lot of defense, right? Don't you think the team that wins the toss is probably going to win the game?
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too. And who won the toss? Do you know who won the toss?
The Seahawks.
Correct. The Seahawks win the toss, and I said, you know what? Great effort, Cardinals, but this is Wilson time. He's going to move them downfield, touchdown, game over. The Cards get a stop. The Cards get a stop, and they get the ball back. Now all they need is a field goal. Kyler, another great drive. Gets him, 42-yard field goal, I believe. Kingsbury kicks it on second down, which is a little weird, but yeah, you're not going to miss that, right? The guy makes it, but no. Kingsbury had to call the timeout to ice his own kicker because they were going to catch a delay of game penalty, and then he misses. So now, again, with 3 minutes left, 34-34, ball is at the 32-yard line. All Russell Wilson needs to do is drive them into field goal range. Ryder, at that point, if you were watching the game, do you think there's any way the Cardinals are winning that game?
No.
No. I felt the same way. And then what happens? The Cardinals figure out, for whatever reason, and I think other teams might use this, they just blitz the shit out of Wilson. Sorry for the language, Ryder. They blitz the heck out of Wilson at the end of the fourth quarter and then through the overtime. And Seattle really had a problem with it. Third down, they do a jailbreak blitz. Wilson throws to Tyler Lockett. He doesn't turn around. Isaiah Simmons, the oft on the bench first round pick, picks it off, gets him into field goal range. Zane Gonzalez, kick through. Cardinals win. Cardinals win. What a game. What a game. So, Ryder, quick question for you. Do you think that this kind of shows that the Cardinals are a better team than Seattle, or do they still have a little ways to go for that for you?
Still a little bit.
Still a little ways to go?
Yeah.
But if you're playing them in the playoffs after this win, you got to be confident that you can beat them again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you've watched some highlights, but who was your Cardinals player of the game?
Kyler Murray.
That's a great call. He outplayed Wilson in this game, which is not easy to do. He flat out outplayed Wilson. And secondary, maybe not player of the game, but unit of the game, was the Cardinals defense from the time that Seattle got the ball back with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They stopped Wilson three times in a row for no points to win that game. Incredible, incredible performance. I loved every second of it. I was going crazy for you here, Ryder. And what do we say? What do we say about the Cardinals? You don't know?
No.
Big Red, baby! Big Red! We're on the Super Bowl train. So, John Senior, I'm sure you watched this. Were your takeaways that... Kind of give me your takeaways. Does this... The Cardinals are for real? The Seahawks have been... I mean, John, I know you picked the Seahawks to lose this game. They've been walking the knife's edge, and they finally fell off. What do you think it is?
Well, it's what we discuss every week. They're not comfortable just running away with it. That was just a stupid leverage penalty. That's the key play of the game, right? There's a lot of big plays, but to me, they don't win it. The Cardinals don't have a prayer of coming back without that. That's a stupid leverage call when you're down 10, using leverage to try to block a field goal. Come on, that goes back to Pete Carroll a little bit. Teams always a little. You know, they're great. He gets them fired up, but they're always just a little bit undisciplined, and they never put away a team. And also, shockingly, Russell Wilson with the three picks and two in the red zone. Just, you're not going to see that every week. So I wouldn't – if you're a Cardinal fan, I wouldn't expect that every time you play to play Seattle that you're going to pick off Russell Wilson three times. And on the other hand, even Kingsbury, some of his decisions were questionable. Like, I didn't like when – after that big play where Metcalf ran down Buda Baker, and then, you know, what was it, like 4th and 3 from the 5? That was just such an ego thing, because he didn't want that Metcalf play to turn the momentum of the game around. So he was determined to go in and get a touchdown. But that was really dumb. Just kick your field goal and get your points right there.
Hey, John, I think the analytics say to go for the touchdown there.
Oh my God! Please, with the analytics, I have to take you to task, because last week you lectured the two old guys with your analytics. I know exactly what the analytics say, that if you go for two every time and you get it 50% of the time, you're going to score more points than if you go for one and you get the extra point 90% of the time. I know, you know, I get you. You know, the numbers say you're going to score more, but sometimes the feel of the game, you just got to go with your gut and know that common sense sometimes, and you got to take your analytics and, please cover your ears, but you know what I think about? Sometimes you got to say, analyze these nuts, and you got to go with the feel of the game.
All right. Hopefully Ryder's ears recovered for that one. That's all right. That's all right. So we have the Cardinals on a bye this week. They rest up. I mean, really impressive start to the season for them. 5-2.
Oh, and also to reiterate your points about the defense and the blitz, and that was Vance Joseph, very, very underscored there. That was just instead of just doing like most teams at the end of the game, your defense is gassed and just kind of relying on your front four that's not going to get no rush whatsoever and just get burned by Tyler Lockett. He at least went for it. He sent a different guy to blitz on him on every play, really mixed it up and confused. And that was what won them the game.
Because, it was really effective.
Yeah,
really,
most teams you see, they're just going to be like, oh, I rush four guys and get burnt by Russell Wilson and that's that. But they at least went down swinging. And also, I criticize Kingsbury, but I will praise him. He knows enough to stay out of the way and let Joseph run the defense. And he sticks to his strength, which is, calling the plays on the offense. So.
Yeah, and I mean, the Isaiah Simmons piece of that is important for the Cardinals because they drafted him. What pick was he, Ryder? 7?
The 9th.
9th overall. Mm-hmm. They drafted him 9th overall, and he's really hardly played for them. And I mean, he's like one of these hybrid athlete, fastest defensive player, one of the fastest. I think he ran a 4.3 something, right, Ryder?
Yeah.
Yeah, real fast defensive player. So hopefully this gets him going, because without Chandler, it's the defense. You know, they played good there. Buda Baker, we talked about him a little last week, Ryder, when you weren't on. But great. I mean, he had an amazing game. He's one of he's like reminds me a lot of Jamal Adams. I don't know about you guys. Same kind of player.
He was all over the field. Isn't it kind of weird that, and I had this, I was, that was going to kind of be my take, that it was kind of a weird thing that you're looking at the game on the surface, a 37-34 game. And we're talking a lot about the Arizona defense playing well. I mean, normally when you win 37-34, you're not going to be talking about the defense, but they really did play. Everything you guys pointed out was right, and Baker was all over the field the whole game. Another guy who's, I was channeling my inner John D'Amato and taking note of some of the defensive players in the game. The linebacker, Tanner Vallejo, seemed to be around the ball and in the backfield the whole game long. He played really well. And the other thing is, okay, they gave up 34 points, but man, Patrick Peterson on two of the touchdowns that Lockett caught, I mean, you couldn't cover the guy any better. I mean, it was just, these long, long throws
what
that
can
Wilson
he do?
Makes that he's got him literally dropping out of the sky, and it's just impossible to cover. I mean, he had him covered like a blanket, and the ball was just so perfectly thrown, and Lockett made the play. So you really can't knock the defense on those. And the blitzing at the end was really good.
And they only gave up 7 points in the second half. I mean, they were down 27-17 at halftime.
Yeah, to that offense. It's very complimentary to the Cardinal defense. And on the offensive side, I agree that Murray was the player of the game. But kind of the guy that kind of snuck in and really made a difference, I thought, was Chase Edmonds.
Oh, he's good.
He really played well. And I think maybe now, I guess
Drake's hurt.
Drake's hurt, so you're going to be featuring him more, and that may be a good thing for the Cardinals.
Ryder.
He's really an explosive player.
Ryder.
Yeah?
Do you think Chase Edmonds is just better than Drake? I do.
I think he's played better.
But... yes. And, you know, Drake was good at the end of last year, but he had kind of a history of being an underachiever before that. You want my prediction, Ryder? That Edmonds just keeps the job now. When Drake comes back, Edmonds is going to have played so well that he is now the starter and Drake is the backup. What do you think?
Yeah, but Kenyon right now is second, I think, in rushing yards. That's the thing.
A lot of opportunity, and a lot of it is that it's that ridiculous run at the end of the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
To me, right, Ryder, if you're looking at stats, anybody who's played the Cowboys, that game shouldn't count. Right? It's almost like, you know how when me and you throw it in the yard and we hit that post pattern every time?
Yeah.
It's basically like you have the Cowboys defense on you on that play. And who's guarding you on that play?
Nobody.
Exactly. Exactly right. That's the Cowboys defense. They might as well not even be out there. All right. So, Ryder, do you have any closing thoughts? I know it's the Cardinals bye week. I know you probably... you're welcome to stay on for the whole show, but my guess is that you wanted to kind of talk Cardinals and then hit the road. Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you have any closing thoughts? Do you want to give any shout outs or anything like that?
No.
All right. Well, we really liked having you on, buddy. And I think the Skype thing is working good. And hopefully, I mean, you've been really good luck for the Cardinals since you started talking about them on the internet with us here. So hopefully that good luck continues for week 9, and we'll have you back in week 9 to talk about their game. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Say bye to your fans.
Bye.
All right, buddy. You can, if you hang up, it won't hang up on all of us, so you can hang up.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, bud. All right, guys. D'Amato couldn't save, so for our listeners, D'Amato couldn't save the D's nuts comment until for the 10 minutes that the kid was on with us. That's all right.
I told him to come
that'll be, in a, you know, I guess these are talks that he and I have to have anyway. So I guess that we'll just bump up the timeline a little, John. No problem.
I told him to cover his ears. I gave him a warning.
Right. He watches football with me every Sunday, so we'll just say it wouldn't be the first time he's heard a curse word.
Yeah. If you watch the Patriot games the last 3 weeks with you, I'm sure he's heard worse than that.
Oh, that's a good segue. That's where I was going. So tough week and just kind of a tough season overall for your three-man booth here. We're happy that Ryder's Cardinals are excelling. And frankly, the four of us will probably be Cardinals fans for the rest of the season. So we had first on Thursday night football, Giants at Eagles. And then we had Sunday, Patriots at home to the Niners with... it's the worst performance by them, I think, since there was a game a few years back where they got just destroyed by Kansas City, right? That was the We're On to Cincinnati game where they just got crushed. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. But this was kind of two non-performances in a row. And this was a real ugly performance to a team that most of us agree are not even that good, the 49ers. And, I mean, just a total no-show. Zero, I have nothing positive to say. I mean, they look like they need a full rebuild to me. But I hate to doubt Belichick, but... I don't know if it's the, you know, with this personnel, it's going to be tough, and, you know, it just kind of is what it is. We expect the offense to not be full, especially in a tough matchup against the Niners. We did not expect Jeff Wilson Jr. and the rest of the Niners to just go through the defense like a hot knife through butter. So, Senior, let's get your thoughts on the Pats.
Yeah, you mentioned that on to Cincinnati game, and boy, the one that was coming to mind for me was further back in the past, was the opening day after they released Lawyer Malloy 3 days before opening day, and they lost 38-0 to Buffalo, and the sky was falling here in New England, and that team won the Super Bowl too. I'm not expecting history to repeat itself here. I'm going to be a little realistic. I mean, it's bad. I mean, if the defense isn't going to be good, this is just awful. I mean, that was the hardest thing you're ever going to have to watch. I mean, literally the defensive front seven was just getting demolished by the San Francisco offensive line. And then on the offensive end, our offensive line didn't get any push. We couldn't run the ball. When Cam, the few times he had time to throw the ball and one of his receivers was actually able to get a little bit of separation, seemed like he was missing them. He was inaccurate as hell. It was just nothing good. Not one good thing to say about the game. I mean, I test what I'm seeing. Logical football fan, if I would take myself, separate myself from being a Patriots guy, I would say this team has no shot at all. They're going to get a high draft pick. That's exactly what they look like. There's only one thing, and like you said, with Belichick, and it speaks to my loyalty as a fan, but I can't say I'm throwing in the towel just yet. Because of Bill and the things that he's pulled him out of before, when everybody thought was done, we had the famous on a previous podcast from years ago, Cowboy. I'm sure you remember this, the famous Rocky Boyle rant, bench Brady, play
trade.
Garoppolo,
trade
Brady, like, play Garoppolo.
That was after the Kansas
because
City
this
game.
Team can't win no matter who plays quarterback. They suck. The offensive line sucks. And he was saying it's time to let Garoppolo develop behind the line that he thought was going to kill him. Well, anyway, that they came back that year too and won the Super Bowl. But I mean, I think that beyond my loyalty as a fan, what makes me totally become like unable to say what I just said and not throw some doubt on it is, let's face it, 20 years of the team that I've rooted for over 50 years, 20 years of unbelievable, just always being able to bounce back from things and winning. I feel like I owe it to them to not put up the white flag yet. Like they've earned that from me. And so I'm not going to give up yet. If they lose, if they get blown out this week, it might be time. It seems that's what we're hearing, that, a fire sale of trading Gilmore, trying to move Gilmore and all these things is reliant on what happens this week. If they lose this week, that they may be making the decision to blow it up and rebuild. But there's two things that give me a glimmer of hope for this week's game against Buffalo, and it may sound insane again. Number one, the things I just told you that they've earned it from me. I feel like I owe them to still think they have a chance. And the second thing is, Buffalo may have two losses, but let's face it, the last 2 weeks, they haven't looked too good. I mean, last week's performance against the Jets was pretty abysmal, even though they won. So those two things give me a glimmer of hope this week. But the logical side of me that I can tell you that if I could separate the loyal Patriot fan from me, I'd be laughing at myself and saying this team has no shot, because that's what they look like. It's hard to say, but that is what they look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a shot against Buffalo for some of the reasons you said. I mean, a lot of that, I mean, the defense has to play better than it did in this game. And I'm just going to assume that they will. Cam was just off. Cam was awful. Really, really like horrible, awful, like worst quarterback in the NFL. Awful. You got to think he'll play better, right? If he plays a good game, they can beat the Bills. If he doesn't, they'll probably get smoked. I think it kind of is on him. It's a tough, the Bills have a good defense, but, I think the Pats can hang with them. If they do lose, I think they should blow it up. If they win, I mean, they're right in the hunt for the division.
That's right.
Really demoralizing loss. I mean, the Broncos suck. So, like, that loss is worse than it looks like on paper because the Broncos are really, really terrible. And this loss to the Niners is a more than a wake-up call. I mean, and now, I mean, Edelman's out, right? Edelman's not playing. Harry's not playing. Yeah. I mean, not that that's exactly prime Randy Moss and Chris Carter or anything, but, you know, so who knows? Maybe whoever the hell Bird's, they throw.
Bird's the number one.
Bird and Myers. I mean, are they really that much worse? I mean, not to be an asshole, but it's like.
Yeah, what Julian has left, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think, like, I actually kind of put some of the blame for this swoon on you, Senior. So it really all started when you started taking these, like, these cheap shots at the NFC East and the Giants. Like, you know, the Pats were playing all right, and then you start to poor D'Amato, you know, kick the guy when he's down, and now all of a sudden the Patriots are the bad news Bears, the worst team in the NFL.
So, well, I can tell you that it's probably what happened to the Patriots, but you're going to hear a different side of me today. With what happened to the Patriots, I'm probably humbled. And I'm not going to be so harsh on the NFC least. In fact, I'm ready to point out some positives about that division, which is a surprise to everyone, I'm sure. Okay, statistically, I wrote this down. Going into last week, the NFC East had a combined record of 5 wins, 18 losses, and 1 tie for a percentage of .217. Now, to their extreme credit, last week they went 2-2 for .500, a huge improvement over .217. So I have to give them props.
Senior, come on. They played.
They
had to go .500.
Okay.
I guess he's so doubling
maybe
it
that
up.
Was a
he's
little
got,
bit
he's
of it.
More. He's got more.
Maybe
right.
That was a little tongue in cheek. Okay, so I'm going to give you another thing. Okay, and this is a perspective thing. If you remember last week on my NFC least rant, I mean, and I'm far from being perfect with predictions. And here I said, how can you have any confidence at all? How can you feel good? I think that's the way I put it, about picking the Redskins and the Eagles to win this week. How can you feel good about picking any one of those teams in that division to win? Impossible to feel good about it. And I picked the two of them and they were right. But you know, the day before, I decided to change my perspective. And instead of saying, I can't feel good about picking the Redskins and the Eagles to win, I said, man, I can feel great about picking the Cowboys and Giants to lose. So if I change my perspective and look at it that way, I felt so good about those picks, I was almost giddy. So it's just all perspective.
Unbelievable, Senior. So we're doubling down, I see, folks. We're doubling down. For those who don't know, Senior, he's doing the whole when they go low, we go lower thing. That's what we have going on here. So I'm just going to leave those remarks where they are. Folks, you take from them what you will. And John, we'll talk about the Giants game, which was much closer than the Patriots games, I will say. So the Giants on Thursday night went to Philly, and I think probably played their best game, you know, I think end-to-end their best game of the season, and just didn't quite have the juice to hold on to the lead at the end. It took a really nice play from Wentz to Boston Scott. That was a very, very, very nice touchdown pass. And the Eagles squeaked out a 1-point win. What are your takeaways from the game, John?
Well, it's what I talk about every week. It's a lack of talent. And it's no shock that Evan Engram drops a big pass. If you listen to the show every week, he drops a big pass in week 2, week 3, week 4. So, of course, when the game's on the line, he's not going to make the play. It's they're giving good effort and they seem to be well coached, but there's a severe lack of talent. Andrew or Turnstile Thomas, their big first round draft pick, looks like another bust. He's giving up pressures and sacks left to right. It's just the stuff we talked about last week. They're still not good enough to beat a decimated Eagles team. So if you can't beat the Eagles and Cowboys, then you're never going to progress in a division. And the only two decent first round draft picks out of like the last 10 years have been Barkley and Jones, and even those are questionable right now because for two great position players, you still need to build up your offensive and defensive line around them, and they haven't been able to do that yet. So, but as we go on into the season, both the Pats and the Giants, they're going to be non-factors, and we're going to have to keep our focus on the contending teams. So there's going to be a lot less talk about Giants and Patriots in the future. But getting back to the Pats, I had a couple questions for you guys. With their extreme lack of receivers, how come in this year's draft? Bill went for two tight ends like in the third round, and I don't think they've even like caught a pass. And then he took like a kicker in round five, who's not even on the team. I mean, I know sometimes draft picks, like second and third round picks, they take a couple years to develop. But this is a big year where he really needed guys to step in, and this was that there was a lot of wide receivers out there. So I think Bill, the GM, has to be taken to task.
The drafter especially. I mean, he has whiffed on a
has
lot
Duggar,
of picks.
Has Duggar played a lot? That big draft pick from like the Division 6 team or whatever, that was a big surprise.
He returns punts, right?
Yeah. He's got a history of, if you look at the history of really not doing well drafting wide receivers when we draft them high, you know? And the last one was N'Keal Harry, and that's...
Yeah, but this year there was a lot anything. Of... There's a lot of can't miss receivers that we see out there. Like,
yeah, we're watching like some really good rookie receivers this year. Exactly. Yeah.
But he didn't even try, and he took those two tight ends in the third round. Did they even play Asiasi and Dalton Keene?
Keene played this week.
Yeah, he caught his first pass of the season.
Asiasi was inactive. But nice. I think, I mean, the real whiffs, John. I mean, you're 100% right. He's whiffed a lot in the early rounds, but. Taking, I mean, especially like looking at it now, taking Harry over DK Metcalf when, I mean, you know, some of the other guys that went in between were different kinds of receivers, like a Paris Campbell. He's more of like a slot speed guy. But Harry is like supposed to be like a big, strong, fast kind of receiver, right? So that's a real whiff to take him over Metcalf. I think we can say that now. And the year before... taking Sony Michel, if you were going to take a running back from that team, taking him over Nick Chubb, stupid, right? But taking Sony Michel also one pick before Lamar Jackson when Brady was on his way out was not great either. But the list kind of goes on. I mean, that is one of the reasons they're in the position that they're in is poor drafting. They have drafted poorly. And I mean, because they've spent a lot of capital trying to upgrade the skill position guys. And I mean, trading a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu is even worse. Really? I mean, that's a second round pick. You could get him. Like, you could probably get Amari Cooper for a second round pick right now. And, you know, doing that for Mohamed Sanu and then cutting him after it looked like he was a plant to get revenge for the Falcons blowing the Super Bowl to us was, you're 100% right, John.
And yeah, what was your next question? Now, AJ Green and stuff, but I think, you know, I think we have to be honest and say the Pats are going to be sellers, not buyers, right now.
Yeah, I have another question too. Do you think like maybe on the down low, there's a lot of talk about who's going to get who's in the running for Trevor Lawrence, or the Jaguars, the Jets, the Giants, but maybe on the down low that Bill is doing a sneak tank this year for the next great quarterback.
I think the Jets have it locked up. The Patriots screwed up by winning those two games early.
Yeah, but they played the Jets two more times. So if the Jets get one or two of those games versus the Patriots, who knows?
the Cowboy could tell you what I'm going to say now, that I would really settle for the number two and be really happy with it. I'm
I'm a huge Justin Fields fan.
Justin Fields, yeah.
I think he's going to be a really, really good, you know, the modern quarterback.
He's
nowadays, accurate. He's got a strong arm. He's real mobile. He's not tall or anything, but dang, we just watched that game that we spent the first 15 minutes talking about, and those two quarterbacks are a joy to watch, and they're really good. I think he's right out of that mold. He's really special. So you
that's
got
a great
guys.
Point. Yeah, that's a great point. Then there's going to be more than that. You know, all the talk is about Lawrence, but there's going to be four or five. You see it every year. It's not like 5-10 years ago where there was only like one good quarterback would come out a year. Some years there wouldn't be any. Nowadays you get four or five studs coming out, and you just got to pick the right one. Because there's also out of four or five, there's one or two Buster Rooneys too. So
there's
the right
a couple
call.
Of rookie quarterbacks that played pretty well last week, huh? Burrow and Herbert were quite good last week.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And we're adding Tua to the mix this week.
Yeah, you're right, John.
You're so right.
And I do feel like we've probably spent a little too much time on the Giants and Patriots, so I'm just going to move on. So
how about them Cowboys?
We're not going to talk about that shit team. I mean, they're awful. But we had a lot of really good games. Like I said, those were not a number of them. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was really the game of the week, and it proved to be such. Other than, you know, I thought Cardinals Seahawks was the most entertaining game of the week, but the game we talked the most about was Steelers Titans. The Steelers came out and looked like pretty clearly the best team in the NFL in that first half. They kicked the shit out of them, and then something clicked for Tennessee in the second half, and you know, adding to the Patriots the negative stuff, Gostkowski missed a 41-yard field goal to send that game into overtime. I thought it was a real nice comeback by Tannehill. And their defense played great. The Titans' defense played great in the second half. It was just the hole ended out being just a little bit too big. So, Senior, we heard a lot from you on the path. So I'm gonna kick over to D'Amato. What were your takeaways from the Steelers-Titans game?
Yeah, I'm going to have to dispute some of the things. It was more Big Ben's carelessness. Too bad, not awful, but there's still reckless interceptions in the end zone that kept the Titans in there. Otherwise, this isn't a game at all. It shouldn't have came down to that Gostkowski kiss. The Steelers should have won going away. Ben had three picks overall, and two in the end zone, which even at his advanced age, he should know better. But he's still kind of reckless and still kind of got that gunslinger where they should have won going away. And the Steelers, their defense is terrific, but it seems every week, if you could get them, they give up that one big play. They gave up that big touchdown to Brown, too. So the Steelers really dominated, but those few plays made it a game for Tennessee.
Senior, I know you're high on the Titans. What were your takeaways from the game?
Yeah, well, I think they showed a lot of heart and a lot of fight. And I think they had all the momentum that I felt if Steven makes that field goal. I liked them in the overtime at that point. I mean, they got the big play from Brown, and Tannehill made some other plays. But also, they didn't get away from their game plan. Even they didn't panic when they were behind. They still ran Henry against as tough a run defense as there is. And he was able to get stuff done, too, in the second half. I still think Tennessee's a really good team. I don't see that loss as a huge blemish. It was a lot of heart. It was a good comeback. And Ben made some bad throws, but you made the plays too. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, we had to give the Cardinals some credit for the very uncharacteristic couple of throws that Russell made. You know, so yeah, I think it was a fun game to watch. The first half, I'm saying, man, I didn't expect this. I expected more out of Tennessee, but then they really played well in the second half, both sides of the ball. So,
and then
those two teams are both legitimate contenders. That division's got three really good teams in it.
The Steelers division?
Yeah.
The Browns? We're high on the Browns?
Well, I don't know about high, but hey, they're 5-2, right? I mean,
I'm just kidding with you.
The division looked good.
I'm just kidding with you. Addition by subtraction. We can talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Steelers out of the frying pan and into the fire head to Baltimore to play the Ravens this week. The Ravens coming off their bye, I believe. Am I right about
yes.
that?
Yes, they are.
Ravens coming off their bye. I really like the Ravens in this game. And I think I'm not, I'll be the first to tell you, I am a guy who doesn't really like the Steelers. So that may shine through in some of my predictions. And, you know, I try to be down the middle, but they've always been such a rival, and it kills me that they're still good. Well, the Pats are just eating shit right now. But regardless, I do think the Ravens coming off a bye, it's a real tough proposition for them going in there in Baltimore, coming off a difficult game, 2 weeks to prepare for Harbaugh. This is a big rivalry game. So I do think the Ravens are going to win this game. And I think it'll be their defense. I think it'll be a little more low scoring than others may. And I like the Ravens in a 20-17-ish kind of game.
You got to look at it. To me, it's a kind of like you're saying, it's a tough spot for the Steelers. You're coming off a tough game. The Ravens are coming off a bye week. You're traveling to Baltimore. The Ravens are a very good team. I don't think the Steelers are going to go undefeated. They are right now. So if there's a spot where they're going to lose, this looks like a pretty good chance of it. Some of the things I've been hearing all the analysis about the Ravens the last 2 weeks. You'd think they're having a bad year when they have one loss. But one of my favorite players of all time, Steve Smith Sr., is all over the fact that they're not throwing the ball to the wide receivers. And that's stifling their offense because the defenses are just defending the middle of the field. And basically Andrews is all you have to worry about in the passing game. And they've had 2 weeks now to maybe figure out ways to get the ball into Hollywood Brown and the wide receivers' hands. And I also think for their offense to be better, I think they have to let Lamar run more. You know, like he's running so much less than he did last year. And I know that's, you know, you think a quarterback's not going to have a long career running a lot, but I think he has to run quite a bit to be good. And he seems to have the knack of being able to run without getting hurt, without taking huge shots, you know, kind of like Russell Wilson does. So I think their offense will be better if they let Lamar run more. And I think you might see those two things this week. It's two things to watch for. Ball to the wide receivers a little more and Lamar running more. And then, yeah, the Ravens might put 3 or 4 touchdowns up against that tough Steeler D.
So
what do you think, John?
Senior, you mentioned the wide receivers. We had a big signing there this week. I nearly forgot.
Yeah.
Throw up the X, baby. Throw up the X. He'll show those young guys a thing or two. Right, John? You a Dez Bryant guy?
Practice. He's going to show the guys on a practice squad. That's about it. I mean, how do you expect? He hasn't played in like 3 years. I don't think you can expect him to come step right in. Maybe later in the season, but I don't see much from him. But that's a big point the senior made though. All Jackson's been looking for is Andrews and Hollywood Brown. I don't know if it's a matter of fact the other guys got to step up, or maybe they just don't got in them. You got guys that had some success, like Willie Snead and Boykin, but they haven't really brought much. And something to look out for is Jackson hasn't really played well against the big teams. He racks up a lot of stats against your Cincinnati's and Cleveland's, but when it's come to the big game the last few times, he's really come up short. But I look for him to do it here. I'm going right with you guys. It's going to be a 3 across the board. So that means people should pretty much bet the house on the Steelers if we all agree on it.
3-man booth. We're all in agreement. Take it to the bank. That's a Ravens victory.
A big Ronnie Stanley. 5 years, just under $100 million. That offensive line to the Ravens. So it would be a good time for him to establish himself and earn that money and keep. And keep the Steelers' defensive dogs off of Lamar Jackson. So I look for the Ravens to squeak it out. They usually win the turnover battle. Big Ben, like we said, in the Tennessee game's kind of loose, and that'll hurt him here. Whoever wins the turnover battle, and Jackson, although he hasn't put up big numbers versus these big teams, he at least is safe with the ball. So we'll go with the Ravens.
Yeah, and you know, just I just kind of have a feeling in this game. And it's just
it's what we've been saying about Kansas City and Seattle. They're not going to go undefeated. They're going to drop one eventually. Yeah. I mean, the Steelers will drop this one, and later on they'll get the one in Pittsburgh. It's pretty much how it's pretty much how these guys go.
I have a different feeling. Okay. It's just, you know, it's just kind of something I'm thinking kind of bound to happen to the Steelers. I mean, you know, I'm not wishing it on him or anything, but I think Roethlisberger goes down in this game. I think there's a good chance of it.
Man, that's a
big pass. I think, I mean, they didn't really
an injury. Pretty... I mean, we make predictions on wins and losses, but to predict an injury, that's a new level of. That's a new level.
I mean, he's been uncharacteristically healthy so far. That's all.
Boy.
That's all.
Even I wouldn't stoop that low, but you know, it's to be expected from, you know, Boston fans.
I think Mason Rudolph takes a snap in this
game.
Oh
God,
that's all. You know, and I mean, the Steelers short with an old quarterback like that. You got to shore up your backup QB position. But I'm not saying I hope it happens. I'm just saying, I mean, law of averages, it's bound to happen one of these weeks, and I think the Ravens would be happy to be the team to do that.
Is the Duck still over there?
No, they don't have the Duck anymore. It's Josh Dobbs.
Oh, too bad.
That guy was like, couldn't play quarterback in our yearly flag football game.
Come on.
The Duck. You better... and then the Titans, guys, we talked about them. They are playing the Natty. So all credit to Joe Burrow in the Natty. I mean, they played their offense played a great game against the Browns, but I think it's like, I'm sorry, and it's in Cincinnati. I think it's like an awful, awful matchup for them, though, with Henry against that like awful run defense. I don't see famous last words, but I don't see any way they're even really in the game. I think they're just going to get run off the field. I think it's just a really, really bad matchup for the Bengals.
I think they'll score some points.
He'll throw it all over the lot.
Tennessee's not a dominating defense. You know, I think Burrow will get something done. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I think they'll put some points up. You know, he's averaging throwing more passes than any quarterback in the NFL. That's probably a statement about their defense.
It's not a great sign. Usually not exactly what you're looking for.
No, but he's got three. It's entertaining to watch because he's got a great receiving core. You know, those three wideouts are all good.
Yeah, Browns Bengals was a great game. I mean, a lot of same score as the Cardinals game, 37-34. John, I know you probably. I'm just gonna kick it to you for your thoughts. I'll just tee it up. So we had a pick early in the game, right? And then Beckham trying to make a tackle, blew out his ACL. And it really seemed from that point forward that Baker Mayfield was a new guy. Can you just kind of maybe elaborate on that for us?
No, I'm not taking the bait. It's bad karma to gloat over somebody, you know, like a team or a player that you don't particularly a fan of. And if they get a horrible injury, it's bad luck.
Did you think that Mayfield benefited from him not being on the field?
Their offense did seem to was more spread out, like a Peoples Jones, a guy who wouldn't probably even be playing if Beckham was in there. He stepped in there. I guess Baker does seem like he has like less pressure, and he plays a little more looser when he's looking for a lot of other guys. All of a sudden, you see like a four string tight end, this guy Bryant, which is great. I love when those four string tight ends score and you fantasy fucktards don't get no points. Hey,
he was a pretty hot pickup because of the injury to Hooper.
Yeah, I love that. So,
but didn't it seem
that has been the talk? But the reporters even ask him about it, and they got very defensive, which is good too. It shows that. Even though, you know, some of us aren't fans of Odell, his teammates do seem to like him, and they felt bad for him that he got hurt.
Real good player, but I think I've watched a lot of Browns games. I think I've watched all their games this year, either live or on the Game Pass thing. It really does seem like he forced targets to Beckham when he wasn't open. And I don't know if it's because he didn't want to feel the wrath. You don't know why. I mean, part of it's probably because he's a great receiver, right? But he forced targets to him, and they weren't quality targets. So yeah. It was almost bog, and it really seemed like with him not in, that, and you kind of alluded to this, that he was just going to the open guy, right? And I mean, against the Bengals, there's going to be a lot of open guys. I realize that.
Jarvis Landry really seems to play better with that. And I think he's kind of more of a better all-around receiver. I mean, Beckham's got that explosive. Landry doesn't have can't make those explosive 70, 80-yard plays that Odell can. But overall, Landry is, I think, a more solid receiver, definitely more dependable and more durable. But he kind of caters because that's his boy. So he doesn't really step up as the number one guy. But I think Landry is the number one receiver. Now he's gonna get a chance to show it.
Well, Landry's tough as hell too. I mean, they're pretty different in a lot of ways. I mean, very different receivers. Landry's tough as hell. But the thing with Beckham too, it's the kind of receiver he is, and like, the kind of player he is the kind of guy that tends to age pretty quickly, where he relies so much on like his speed and quick twitch and his leaping ability that, I mean, and I think it's been obvious, and I don't really put it on Mayfield. I think Beckham's really just not the player he was 5 years ago. He's just not, right? I mean, he's still a very, very good receiver, but I don't think he's like a true one. Like one of the, you know, he was one of the three or four best receivers in the league. And I think he's not that, and probably not one of the 15 best receivers in the league, but he still kind of has that rep, right? And carries himself that way. And I think that they force him targets that way.
This will be the last time we speak on him until next year, but he was under a certain quarterback that he threw under the bus, he was getting double-digit touchdowns every year. And he comes to and then this quarterback doesn't say a bad word about, but with Cleveland, he only had like, what, 4 or 5 touchdowns in the 2 years? So, it is what it is. So,
it's all Eli. I say. It's Eli all I made say. Him. Eli made him. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying he made him, but his numbers were better under his past quarterback that he threw under the bus. So.
It's a good point. So, another winnable game for the Browns this week, and it's a real chance for Mayfield to build on that performance. So they have the Raiders coming to Cleveland. The Raiders fresh off just getting the shit kicked out of them. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the Broncos. Sheesh. See? Cowboys been working too hard.
No, the Raiders got this destroyed by Tampa.
There you go. Yes. I knew they got the shit kicked out of them. I was thinking Chiefs, but... And in a performance where their defense like really, really got shredded the whole game long, both on the ground and through the air, that I think it's a chance for Baker to really maybe get on a little bit of a run, right? I mean, he played great in that game against the Bengals. I mean, that last minute comeback, I mean, he played awesome. Best game of his career, and I don't think it's even close. If he can build on that, sometimes you get a young kid who's talented like that, especially in Cleveland, where there's been some bullshit and maybe some of the problem was between the ears for him, he gets on a little run. They could be dangerous. So I like the Browns this week. I like Baker to pick up right where he left off, and I like them to lay the wood to the Raiders and send the Raiders under 500 where they belong.
Agreed here. There's not much analysis there. They're favored. They're at home. And that seems to be Cleveland. They're not up to the level of like your Steelers and Ravens, but they continue to beat the teams that they should be. And that's so far Stefanski has stabilized that situation there.
I do appreciate it, John, that after my soliloquy, the first thing you said was not much analysis. So thank you. Thank you for that. It's like, I already got senior, all right, John? I don't need another one.
See, I kind of meant for me, there's not going to be much. It's just pretty much the Browns win going kidding. Away.
You like the Browns as well here?
Yep, I'll make it unanimous.
You know, and if Baker gets it going, they could be good, because one thing they do have is a really good running game that's only going to get better when Chubb comes back. If he could play well, yeah, the Browns could be, I'm not saying Super Bowl contender, but they could definitely be a playoff team.
I mean, Myles Garrett could be the defensive player of the year so far. I mean, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's
been
an animal. Really
good. All right, so, you know, we've taken a lot of time here, so I want to do a couple of quick ones before we come off. We had our other favorite team here on This Week in the NFL, the Bears! Not a great performance on Monday night. So, Senior last week put the kibosh on the Bears, to the dismay of our listeners, calling them the least impressive 5-1 team in the history of the NFL. I believe that was the quote. and offensively, they came out and kind of played like that. Not a good offensive performance by the Bears. Their defense kept them in it again, but ultimately the Rams were able to come away with it. Not a whole lot of it. And to steal a quote from D'Amato, not a whole lot of analysis in this one, in that the Bears offense just couldn't do anything. I mean, that's really the long and the short of it. The Bears offense just could not do anything. Pass rush was all over Foles the whole game long, and they just never got out of first gear. Schedule doesn't get any easier for the Bears, as they have the Saints coming to town this week. One of these games where, I mean, I think the Bears should be able to do a little more on offense in this game, but one would think that they're going to have some trouble stopping the Saints, even though on grass, historically, outside, north, has not been as kind to Drew Brees and the boys. But, man, I'm going to let you guys go. Senior,
I'll be real quick. Not much analysis. What my main man over there, John D'Amato, said last week, and I seconded it. I'm just going to say it again. I'll reiterate it. 5-4.
Damn. Oh, man.
And it's his predictions for the next 3 weeks. For those listening at home.
I don't like to be predictable, but the Bears defense has been better. I mean, they're always solid, but it's been better than I expected. And they really kept them in that game with the Rams. The Rams made a couple great interceptions. Even though the Bears offense was anemic, the Rams, the defense really made some great plays in that game. But the Bears defense kept them in it. I want to say they're gonna put up a good game with the Saints at home and take it. But I'll lean towards the Saints to pull it out. But the Saints defense hasn't been that impressive either. So it's kind of like the Bears offense versus the Saints defense, but two struggling units. But I'll stick with the Saints to Kamara to make a couple special plays.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the easy pick. I think the Saints have been not particularly impressive, right? I mean, they've been...
I mean, you guys are trying to bury Drew Brees, even though he's up 30 points a game.
Since that talk, he has played.
Yeah,
that.
At least bury this their defense. If you want to bury their defense, I can.
Historically, this is the kind. This is a loss for the Saints. This is historically a game they lose.
Yeah, which, not really the last couple of years.
Outside against a decent defense, they have a lot of trouble. Like I don't, with especially without Michael Thomas again. So I think this is a slugfest, and when you're in a slugfest, who do you got to go with, John? Who do you got to go with?
The Bears.
I like the Bears here. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon yet because of one bad performance. You know, they're 5-1. They need a mulligan. I think they'll be able. To your point, the Saints defense has been bad, and I think they'll be able to scheme up some plays. I know Allen Robinson isn't playing, which hurts them on offense, but I think they'll be able to scheme up a couple of touchdowns and keep the Saints in slow motion, maybe a little Montgomery on the ground, and I like the Bears to win, 17-14.
That's good, because with Tennessee next week, Timmy Slomka, I'm sorry, but if they don't pull this one out, 5-4.
Here we go.
Man. Sorry, Tim. I can't control these guys. We tried for years. Once they get on something, watch out.
He should feel good.
Senior will be texting me negative bear stuff all week now.
Timmy should feel good. I'm wrong more often than I'm right. So he should feel good about that one.
Senior, just do me a favor, because we don't want to lose our main listeners. No nice complimentary facts about the Bears next week like you had about the NFC.
Boy.
And I thought Nick Foles was bad until man, so let's take a look, guys. I think we covered the Tua thing, CD, you mentioned it's kind of a tough game to get to start.
Yeah.
We could probably talk for half an hour, and I think we talked a little bit about whether it's the right move. I think, like we talked about, I think it's just they decided this was going to happen before the season, would be my guess. And when he's ready, he's going to play. And I'm fine with it. But throwing him in there against that rush and Aaron Donald that was all up in poor Nick's grill on Monday Night Football is a tough draw for the first start. It's tough to make a prediction because you don't really know what the kid's got.
Well, I'll make one prediction about Tua. Against that same defense, he'll get a lot more done than poor Nick did.
Man. All right. The Bears scored 10, so the bar isn't that high.
They didn't set the bar too high. I think he's going to play well. I think it's going to be a good game. This kid's a special kid.
All right. You picking the Dolphins, Senior? You think he's going to play that well?
Oh, I think he's going to play well. I picked the Rams to win in a close game, but I think he'll play well. I'm looking forward to seeing him.
I like the Rams to win in not as close of a game. And I think it's a tough team to play against in your first NFL start. What do you think, John?
Man, the Rams all the way. It's hard to go against a guy that, you know, you've only seen take like two snaps, but that Rams defense, I'm very impressed by them. I think they're one of the top two or three in the league this year, from what I've seen with Donald and Ramsey. They stay healthy. They play every snap and they make great plays. They're all over. So it's hard to go against them right now.
Ramsey's playing well too. I know he got cooked on that one play that Foles missed Mooney, but what impresses me about him, he is a amazing tackler, isn't he, for a cornerback?
Yeah, he does it all.
Really, really good. Like, even guy, you know, so you think of those, like real premium corners. A lot of them don't like to tackle, but I mean, he's like a freaking safety out there. Niners Seahawks is a big game. I don't believe that we talked about too much. So this really comes down to, do you think the Niners are for real, or have they just beaten up on three sad sacks and then had a good game against the Rams? So because they're coming in with momentum, I think the Seahawks are going to be pissed about losing that game to the Cardinals. I like the Seahawks. I can see a case for the Niners. And if the Niners win this game, they prove me wrong. But I do like the Seahawks. I think Wilson comes back and gets it done here.
Okay, that's my upset special of the week. I'm picking the Niners. I think the Seahawks defense gets exposed a little bit. The Niners are on a good roll. I realize the Patriots looked hapless last week, but they kicked their ass. And the week before was a very impressive performance against a really good Rams team. And maybe the magic of all these, the way the Seahawks win these games in the end runs out a little bit for one more week on them. And I just got that feeling. I like the 49ers in this spot.
Senior, I thought your upset special was coming Monday night.
Come on.
I said I was respecting the division, but I don't know if I'm respecting them that much. I know TB12 had some nightmares with that team, but I don't see this one happening.
Could it be cold? Could be cold, maybe a little snow still on the ground, you know?
They could play that game at the North Pole and it wouldn't be enough to swing the outcome.
There it is. All right, D'Amato. So, John, Niners, Seahawks, if you got to break the tie there.
I was hoping we'd skip the Monday night game, but yeah, Niners, Seahawks. I'm on the seniors team. Man, Seattle's defense, it's a good thing. Hopefully, Carlos Dunlap will give them a little, some kind of semblance of a pass rush. Their leading sacker is Jamal Adams with two sacks. That defense is not special at all. There's a legion of room in that secondary for to pass. So, and I like the way Seattle's hanging tough with all their injuries and they're running the ball. So I like the way San Francisco with hanging tough with their injuries running the ball. Hard to pick against Seattle losing twice in a row, but I'm going 49ers.
All right, I'm happy to be on this island against Wilson versus Garoppolo. That's all I need.
And I got
that
one comment
all
to
I
make.
Need, baby.
I got one comment to make. The Monday night game, it's obvious. We're not going to spend too much time talking about it. But our next Giant came out today and said that he's going to destroy the Giants. Jason Pierre-Paul, a very explosive pass rusher. He's going to have a great game because he's a very explosive pass rusher. So I'm sure he'll have a great game with the Giants.
Guys, it's a race to the freaking bottom on this show. Let me tell you.
You can't get any cheaper than that. We're rooting for a guy's injury.
So
I lowered the bar.
At the very least, John, you should feel good that of the New York teams, you guys are
good at all.
A better matchup.
No, I don't. That doesn't make me feel good at all.
Jets at Chiefs. I'm just going to talk about it because, I mean, you can't make the line in this thing high enough, right?
It dropped. It started at like 20 and a half. I think it's about 19 now.
Yeah, I don't know if they think that the Chiefs are going to go up 42-0 and then just take everybody out. I mean, I don't – the way the Chiefs defense is playing, I don't see how the Jets are going to score more than 7. And obviously the Chiefs offense should just completely it's one of these where the line's just so high that people are just taking the points, but it's like, that's a freaking blowout. I mean, it's the worst game you can make in football. I probably won't watch 5 minutes of that game.
Man, that's as ugly as it gets.
And I don't want to, not to take shots at the Giants, John, but I did just talk real quick about the Bucs because I think they're really emerging as a true, if not favorite, definite, Super Bowl contender with the way that offense looks and the way their defense is playing. I mean, their Gronkowski looks like the real a good version, you know, not prime, but he's playing really well. He looks like himself to a point. And now they're adding Antonio Brown to the mix. It's like they're like an all-star team on offense, and Brady, you know, I guess Brady still has something in the tank, and I'm sure it kills him to see what's going on in New England, but that's a story for another day. But I mean, if without injuries, I mean, I think they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, they might be the best team in the NFL.
Yeah. Bowles really has that defense looking strong.
And, really?
that takes the pressure off Brady, and he's getting weapons every week. Some guys are going down. Godwin's not going to play, but still, he's got a connection with Scotty Miller and his tight ends there. Greg Gronk is getting that rust off. So,
and he he's really using like Fournette as like a third down guy out of the backfield really well. I mean, they're loaded. I mean, they're really, really loaded.
Yeah, that's a combination of Arians running the offense and Bowles running the defense. That's a
Can you imagine? I mean, eventually, he's probably going to figure it out with Mike Evans, too. I mean, Mike Evans has like 50 yards total the last four weeks.
Yeah, with no Godwin this week, you might see Evans getting the ball more. But do you think he's pleased with the decision he made? I mean, if his team's healthy, they're literally three legitimate number ones, right? Those wide receivers, Godwin, Evans, and Antonio, that's three number ones, and he's looking over saying, well, my receiving core could be Bird, Myers, and Gunnar Orzechowski.
Scotty Miller would be our clear number one, yes.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
But team-wise, it was also a great move because the NFC is very weakened this year, and the AFC looks like the stronger conference with the Steelers, Chiefs, and the Ravens, and you could throw Buffalo in there.
Titans.
Titans. So there's legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. Seattle, Green Bay. That's about it. New Orleans and Tampa. New Orleans and Tampa aren't on the level right now of where the Steelers and Chiefs are. So.
Yeah. I think the Bucks right now. I don't know if you look at the Vegas odds. To me, they're the odds-on favorite to win the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Unless they run into the Bears in the playoffs. They beat them. They beat them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't see that happening again.
We know you don't, Senior. We know you don't. That's why they play the games. And I would be remiss if we didn't bring it up real quick. I almost don't want to because I have a feeling I know what's going to come back at me here. But Sunday Night Football... The battle for first place in the NFC East.
DiNucci time.
We've been the Cowboys at the Eagles. The Cowboys, I mean, it's just sad at this point, right? I mean, it's that hit poor Dalton took was like one of the most vicious hits I've ever seen. I mean, it was really ugly. And the offense, I mean, how much worse can this kid be? I mean, I'm not to kick a guy when he's concussed, but with those skill position guys that they have, it is borderline criminal that Dalton couldn't get more done offensively. And we talked about that game, and I mean, I said I was going to take the Redskins by double digits based on the Cowboys defense. I thought the Cowboys could score more than three. I mean,
yeah.
They are a total dumpster fire.
But I know it's what we talked about last week. We know Dalton is what he is. At best he's mediocre. But also the one interception right in Zeke Elliott's hands.
Zeke seems like he's already packing it up for Aruba.
Yeah, he checked out. I mean, feed me. He's trying to feed you, but if you don't accept the food, how are you going to eat?
Yeah, the poor guy takes that vicious, dirty shot, and none of his teammates come. One guy comes to his defense. That was sad commentary about that team right there.
Speaks to the character of the team.
Also, what do you think? Can you imagine if a Wilson or a Mahomes took that shot, and a guy wouldn't get suspended? I mean, come on. It kind of seems like if it's like a mediocre or a shitty quarterback, there's not much sympathy or punishment. Yeah, but if like a Russell or a Mahomes took that shot, the guy would have got suspended.
Two games. There would have been a lot more uproar.
Here it was a vicious shot, and people are making jokes and stuff like that, and it's a sad commentary that just because the guy isn't a great player, or even a mediocre player, it's just some say he's the worst quarterback in the league, whatever. But still, that shouldn't be a basic on how. The punishments are doled out or.
That was a vicious, dirty hit. Really, really bad. I agree, John.
With all that said, is this version of the Cowboys the worst team in the NFL? Are they worse than the Jets? I think they are.
No, they're not worse than the Giants. They beat them, so I can't say that.
Not with DiNucci.
Who knows? You never seen the guy play. You never know.
I don't know. It's hard to say
anybody's worse than the Jets, but yeah.
Or the Jets.
Each other this week, I would pick the Jets to win. The Jets played much better than the Cowboys did last week.
Well, McCarthy said that there's good news that Dalton will be okay for the game next week. But the bad news is it's versus Steelers. So.
Yeah, he might as well not even show up. And with all that said, the Eagles haven't exactly been lighting the world on fire. So anything's possible. I mean, the Eagles can lose to anybody. The Eagles could lose this game. It's just the division is really bad. It's a real dumpster fire.
But the Eagles still got Peterson as a coach and Wentz. I mean, Eagle fans, if you don't appreciate Wentz, he may not be like on the Wilson Mahomes level, but he's in that next level. And trust me, Eagle fans, if you guys don't want him, send him over. Send him east. We'll be glad to take him.
He is a good quarterback. And I think he had a little rough start to the year, but he's just getting better. I think it would be good for the division in general and like just for the playoffs, if the Eagles win this game and kind of start to separate
a
little bit.
Yeah, they'll win
so
the division.
So you at least have like eight, one decent team in the division.
Yeah, they'll win the division with a 9-6-1 or something like that.
Which is at least they'll figure it out. Yeah. I mean, that's a fine record.
That'd be a heck of a finish. What are they now? 2-4-1?
Yeah.
You think the Eagles are only going to lose two more games? I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at the schedule. Yeah.
Well, the schedule is going to be a lot of games versus what division? Their own division. Yeah. So
they got some tough. They have some tough. Games.
I see
at
a Cleveland
Bay, home,
Cleveland,
New Orleans,
Seattle,
and at the
look
Cardinals.
You're right, guys. Look at this stretch: at Cleveland, Seattle at home, at Green Bay, and New Orleans at home. That's a tough four gamer right there. And at Arizona, yeah, that's a tough stretch.
That could
tell
probably
there.
Five losses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they do go 0-5 in those games and are still in first place?
G-Man.
I mean, you're only one game out, like, right? Like, I mean,
there's not too many more wins on the schedule. Trust me, I looked.
Coleman looked good against the Eagles.
We only play Washington one more time. So if we could play the Redskins every week,
Are you guys gonna pick that game?
What game?
The Eagles Cowboys game.
Come on, with Ben DiNucci,
Eagles.
I'm not picking Ben. I haven't seen anything of Ben DiNucci enough to pick him. All I know is he's Italian. That's all he's got going for him.
Senior, did you want to pick that game? It sounded like you wanted to.
I'll pick the Cowboys to lose. Remember, it's all perspective. I'm not picking the Eagles. I'm picking the Cowboys to lose.
Thank you, Senior. Monday night, you going with the Giants to lose?
Yes, absolutely.
Come on. All right, let's wrap this up, man.
All right, guys. We did go a little longer this week. I hope everyone enjoyed it. We had to really hammer home that Cardinals game, and then I didn't know Senior was coming with all sorts of prepared material. So that was an extra 15 minutes or so. So hopefully everybody enjoyed it. We hope it's another great week of games. The Senior and I will be going to watch over at JT's. Hopefully he doesn't force us to watch the Jets lose by 100.
I think it's the last thing he'll want to watch.
He's going to force you to watch whatever fantasy guy, whatever fantasy team he's playing.
He's got two TVs.
He does. And Ryder has his last flag football game on Sunday. So his team did lose in the playoffs last week, but they have the consolation game this week. He is he's one of the smaller guys out there, but he's got a lot of heart and he's got good hands. So hopefully the faithful will be rooting for him. Well, I'll give you guys a report next week on that. Other than that, guys, I'm good. I'm had another long week of work, and just, you know, this is Friday night that we're doing this. So I'm just going to kick back and watch some boxing on DAZN.
Nice. What's tomorrow's Uriah Hall?
Anderson
Silva. Was it ESPN
Hall.
Plus? I always get confused with this.
I believe
it's ESPN Plus.
I believe it's ESPN Plus, yes.
Okay, no pay-per-view needed. Okay, good.
Pay-per-view needed.
Thank you.
So enjoy watching the Spider or what's left of him, you know. He may still have enough left in the tank to beat Uriah Hall, so that'll be interesting.
It was great witnessing history last Saturday with the great Khabib retiring.
Khabib went out in style. Yeah.
Incredible performance. Dana White, all that stuff we said, Dana White's already saying he's going to come back next year, so we'll see what happens there. But the next one to look forward to is January 23rd, as Senior.
Dustin.
Very good, guys. So, for Mr. D'Amato and for Cowboy Senior and for my good buddy Ryder, I'm the Cowboy. I'm out, and I hope everybody enjoys the games this week.
Stop it.